And ladies and gentlemen in Radio Land, welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. You have now just entered 4th Street with Kobe.
Charles, not Charlie.
Charlie, not Charles.
Don't mess us up.
And smooth us.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a packed show for you guys today. Of course, we have our Eagle Eye recapping all sports that happened this past week and past weekend. Also, we got a special guest in the building today and a friend of the show, Mr. Trevor Ritchie. We will be discussing basketball, our predictions and preview of what's going to happen this year with the Golden Eagles and the women's Golden Eagles and women Lady Eagle.
And not to mention, he is the first two-time guest on this show.
First two-time.
Two-timing.
Two times. We got to mention that when he head through 4th Street. But also, we will be getting into our debate. Charlie, you probably going to have more about that.
We're going to be talking about Southern Miss soccer, obviously, with that big win that we're going to go over in a little bit. But what's their potential? What's their ceiling this year, you know, with a statement win like that?
Right. They're currently in first place, right?
Yes. We'll talk about
with that big win. That's right.
Also, I got a big announcement.
Yes.
Do you know what today is?
Tuesday.
Tuesday? It's 4th Street Day, of course, but come on, guys.
You're talking about...
Come on. You got to get it right, Charlie.
The start of
it's like, the NBA opener.
Say it louder. Oh,
start of the NBA season.
We're a college show. Come
I'm repping,
on.
I'm repping the Pelicans, you know.
My
yeah.
Lakers are playing tonight.
We got to talk about basketball today.
I'd like to point out, Austin, that your team went winless in the preseason.
Right. Look.
What does that mean?
Look, my Cowboys went winless in the preseason. We're 5-1, so the preseason means nothing. I had a feeling
they were going to come up at some point in this show. But
yes.
But it is the start of the NBA also. But since we mentioned the sports teams, my Braves are currently leading 2-0 against the Dodgers right now. I'm not bragging because I remember last year I was happy about this and we saw what happened there. Baseball fans, you know. But enough of that. Also, of course, we got to give our flowers today to our current and former Southern Miss athletes who have received honors during the week, whether that being player of the week or just some accomplishing something really good today, this past week. So we will have all that and more on the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio.
Yeehaw!
4th Street Sports.
Southern Miss Radio.
And welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show with Kobe, Charlie, Charles, and Smooth Oss. Now, it's time for our Eagle Eye. And now I pass it over to Mr. Smooth Oss.
Charles, you. Hit me with it.
Ka-ka!
No hesitation.
Oh, man. There we go. That was a good one. Welcome to the Eagle Eye. It is Smooth Oss with you today. And I'm going to just be telling what's going on and around USM campus in the athletics. All right, let's get to it. In football, they suffered a 34-0 shutout against the UAB Blazers, dropping to 1-6 on the season, guys. This was the first time the Golden Eagles have been shut out since 2014 and the first time they've been shut out at home since 1984.
Wow. Man. That's a scary book.
Yes, it is.
My mom was in college, I think.
I wasn't even thought of at that point. But Coach Hall put it as simply as this, saying, we were beat in all three phases of the game, and they were the better football team. Lang suffered an injury in the second quarter, and the team put in T. Webb, as well as Chandler Pittman. Also, it was some big news that came out, reported by our guy here, Trevor. Shout out to him. Yeah. That Chandler Pittman will also be out for the season. We will talk about that later on in the show. But the Golden Eagles, the good thing we can take out of the loss is that the Golden Eagles managed to only give up 3 points. The Golden Eagles defense only giving up 3 points in the second half, where they were scored on 4 times in the second quarter. Four times. That's when UAB really ran away with this game. And luckily, Southern Miss has a bye week coming up. And after that, we'll see them face Middle Tennessee, who is currently 2-4. The Golden Eagles are currently on a 5-game losing streak.
Yeah.
Who would have thought of this coming on early on in the season? Nobody. You know, prediction wise, I wouldn't have guessed it.
And we didn't get it right.
And honestly, a little small fun fact, we are currently 0-3 against Alabama teams this year.
Yeah, that is that is interesting.
South Alabama, Big Bama, the Crimson Tide, and
Troy.
UAB.
Oh, so 0-4.
Oh, yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe we need to run away from Bama. I'm not going to lie.
Well, next thing we know, we're going to be playing against Auburn at some point.
We actually play Auburn next season.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh.
I think we play Auburn next season. I may
might
be
have
wrong,
to check the contract details. We didn't get to play them last season.
Yeah,
so.
We did not. But we'll be playing them. We're playing a lot of Bama teams. But moving on in soccer, we got something to cheer about, guys.
Yeah.
In soccer, they faced off against Rice this past Thursday, where they got their first win against Rice in school history.
Yeah, before the win, they were 0-12-1 against Rice. Yeah, obviously, with the last loss coming in the Conference USA semifinals, which is a heartbreaker for them. Yeah. It was in penalty kicks.
Yeah, shout out to Coach Mo, Sam, and PG. Big win for them this week, though. I know, cause they've been winning this since last spring, so
yeah, a little revenge.
Yeah,
but this match was a heavyweight match in the CUSA West Division for Rice and Southern Miss. The win put Southern Miss number one in the conference. Well, number one in the West Division.
West.
Currently sitting at 11 points. So that was a big plus for them. Elena Izquierdo executed on a penalty kick to give Southern Miss the win. We saw Southern Miss football players rush onto the field.
That was a great moment.
Tarly, you did an excellent job covering that game.
Gracias.
You can actually see your recap coming up this weekend on this week. Hopefully it airs by this weekend on Southern Miss TV. Mm-hmm. And you did a great job on that. So Southern Miss is number one in CUSA in the West Division. So moving on, we have volleyball. They did not do so well. Volleyball is now currently on a 4-game losing streak. Recently, they lost 2 games to North Texas, and this week at the Wellness Center Complex, this weekend, matter of fact, they lost to, it's crossing my mind because they beat us so bad, UTEP. They lost to UTEP. The first game, they lost 3-1. The second game, they lost 3-2, guys.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kobe.
Me and Austin were both at that second game. Charlie was there for a minute, but that second game was thrilling to watch. Personally, I wish Coach Radecki and the girls would have got that one, but it was an improvement from Friday night, because Friday
rebounded.
It looked like they got demolished by YouTube.
Yeah, Friday was a big improvement, and I asked her about that, and she.
It's been said,
like,
that silence is music's true alternative.
A big credit to her. Her team just bouncing back. But Southern Miss also took a blow. Also, that starting senior outside hitter Decay Maraska was ruled out for the season. If you've been to a couple of the games, she was a stellar star. It was basically, I'm not going to make it just strictly like this, but it was Mia Wesley and Decay Maraska, and you kind of got a little bit of Kinsley Hand back in there.
Yeah.
But Duquesne was a big part of that. I'm not going to forget about Carr Atkinson, just on the attack. So that was a huge loss. I believe it was apparently a lower extremity injury. After the game, we saw her on crutches, and her leg was wrapped up pretty well in a cast. Yeah. So that was hard to see. But now they go on and move on to face Rice, who is actually number one in the conference, guys, in CUSA West division again. So hopefully we can pull that out. Rice is 5-0 currently in CUSA, in the West Division. Well, in CUSA, and they lead, basically. Rice is a powerhouse, so it's going to be a tough task. It's just kind of sad to see volleyball starting out so well. They started out 4-0 on the season, come back, and they kind of got into division play, or conference play, and kind of faltered a little bit.
Up and down, and I just want to point out that Golden Eagles haven't won an away game yet. So.
Yes, 0-6 on the road. Yeah. So it's going to be a tough task with them going on to Houston, Texas. Also, Mia Wesley, she did break a career high. I just want to speak on her. The first day, Friday, she had 25 kills. The second match, she had 29 kills. Her previous career high with Southern Miss was 21. Her all-time career high collegially is 30 with Portland. So she's doing great things. Mia Wesley is still signing for them. Continuing on in cross country, we have the Golden Eagles finishing 12th out of a field of 29 schools. Lena May was again came in. Well, she again excelled and came first for the Golden Eagles, with placing 24th, matter of fact. She plays 24th out of 200-something athletes,
77.
Yeah. 177?
No, I believe it was 277.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, 277.
Just to come 24th out of 277 athletes is impressive. We actually had the chance to meet her last night. It was a great event. Moving on, though, women's tennis. They traveled to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to face off in the ITA Southern Regional, where the Golden Eagles finished. Well, we saw them finish with a pretty decent record on the day. We saw them finish 4-3 for the weekend. In doubles, they went 2-2 versus some high-level Division I competition. So it was good to see. On the men's side, they also were in the ITA Southern Regional. And they finished pretty well, too. They had two guys that won their singles matches. I think they went 2-2 And on the double side, they kind of went back and forth and went 2-2 also. And on the men's golf side, they finished 16th overall. Seventh out of 16 schools in the Wolfpack Intercollegiate tournament in Wiley, North Carolina. So that was a good thing for them. We're seeing a lot of great things for Golden Eagles athletics. It's kind of been an up and down roller coaster, but things are kind of on the upside. We just hope football can find it out or figure it out with this bye week coming up, and they have Middle Tennessee afterwards. But that's been your Eagle Out recap with Smooth Oss.
Yes, sir.
All
right, thank you, Smooth Oss, for that. When we come back, we have our special guest entering 4th Street and friend of the show, Mr. Trevor Ritchie. We will be talking all Golden Eagle and Lady Eagle basketball. So stick around. We will have all that and more on the 4th Street Sports Show, Southern Miss Radio.
Let's go.
Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show with Kobe, Charles, Charlie, and Smooth Oss. Now we have a special guest in the building, and today we have friend of the show. This is, as they said earlier, this is his second time on the show.
Wow.
First two-time guest. Mr. Trevor Ritchie, y'all.
Yes.
Mr. Trevor Ritchie, y'all. What's up, Trevor? How you feeling?
Man, let me say, if you guys don't mind, I'm sure I said this last time, but I really appreciate y'all, and I mean that. You know what I mean? I'm not just saying that for the show. I do really appreciate y'all because I spent a lot of days here. I had a lot of great days here. I had a lot of awful days here. People like you guys doing things like this, talking about sports, having something to look forward to, that always matters. And like I said, you're not going to find anybody more grateful to be here than me, because I sat in this seat with you guys in the past, and I'm here now, and I'll always be here.
Oh, okay. Thank you for being back, man. We definitely wanted to get you back for this basketball preview, bro, because you know your stuff, bro. I'm a casual basketball fan, and I know a little bit. I don't know a lot, but trust me, him with basketball in the fighting game, I always go to Trevor with his predictions and all.
Well, that's what I try to tell people too. They look at the football coverage, or they, right. You know, when baseball comes around, that's a big thing in Hattiesburg as well. I tell people, man, my first two is NBA basketball and then UFC MMA, that sort of thing. So it's like I'm kind of, even with the football, the baseball, all that stuff, I'm working outside of my wheelhouse, honestly.
Yeah. So it's your time to shine. Not that you haven't already.
Is the NBA tonight? New Orleans is tomorrow, right?
Yeah. I just got to ask you this, though, Trevor. Did the NBA season sneak up on you? Or was it just me? Sure.
Everything about the NBA has snuck up on me since probably, March 2020?
When
the NBA shut down. I mean, I was in an arena when we started to figure out that was probably, you know, that would happen. And then everything about the NBA coverage, access, how they operate has changed since then. So pretty much, the season's been so short back-to-back. So, I think it's caught up on everybody. Yeah.
So Trevor's a big basketball fan, and he's had experience covering the Pelicans. So he's obviously the guy to go to ask about basketball. He's been around the men's team for a while now. So we're going to talk about just this season, and the team Coach Ladner and his staff has put together and talk about their potential this year. That's the word, right? What is their potential, Trevor? What is their ceiling, you think?
I don't know what the ceiling. I mean, first you have to start with double-digit wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where you have to start. We need to see 10 wins, be honest with you. That'd be a nice first step because the team has struggled. It is timely. You know, we see it with Will Hall. There's only so much time you can say, okay, it takes time to build this. I'm sure you guys have heard it a lot. Rome wasn't built in one day, right? Well, for year three with Ladner, he doesn't have that luxury anymore. You can't sell the fan base on that anymore, and he's aware of that. You guys were at the press conference when we touched on that with him.
Right.
And, you know, it remains to be seen whether or not that's going to be the case. You're really right now getting good point guard depth, figuring out who you want for the first time. Haven't had that in a while. Gone through a lot of rotation there in terms of who's actually going to be running your offense. Now you have a guy that's coming in like a Waylon Napper that, of course, you worry about. The transition to Division One, because like Ladner said before, there's no replacement for the experience of knowing what it's like to play Division One basketball. But you have a guy like Isaiah Moore that we haven't seen here in quite a while. You know what I mean? In terms of energy, in terms of size, in terms of the presence he's going to bring to the front court with a guy like Tyler Stevenson.
I think you got to add in there also just his marketability.
Well, that too. I mean, not just that, but just like that energy, that presence, that aura. It gives the. It's not about the marketability from the outside. It's from the inside that the team sees, and that wouldn't be considered marketability. You know, that's a business reference for the team. They're like, okay, I like his character. I like his attitude. I like what he brings to the table. I like how he competes. You know, I want to get closer to that. Then you see other guys that you don't normally see chirping back and forth, saying things back and forth, having those arguments. You've seen it with the Austin.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. You want to hear the gym like that. You want to hear some back and forth. You want to hear some, maybe not animosity, but you get what I'm saying? You want to have those competitions. Because if you don't have those competitions at practice, you're not going to know what to do during the game when it comes up. Mm-hmm. When someone's talking down to you, when they're putting you into the hardwood, right? And they're telling you, I'm beating your tail right now. And what are you going to do about it? Then you just close off, right? If you've never been there. Right. Especially in basketball, because you can get lost out there really quick, five players lost.
That's what I saw. I went to probably almost every game last season. And most of the games were actually very close.
They lost a lot of close games.
They did. And I believe that was a lot of the problem is because, you know, you get lost for a couple of minutes, you're down. And that's what happened. They would go on terrible stretches.
You have to know how to close a game. Yeah. And it's a game of runs. Once you have one of those stretches, depending on how bad it is, sometimes you can't come back from it. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. And especially when Southern Miss is going to do everything they can defensively. I mean, this team, this coaching staff, the way that they play is predicated on defense. And when that's the case, and when you've exhausted all your efforts defensively, the margin of error with a team like this is so small that you can't afford those runs and those things to happen. Yeah. But there's a lot of different things. Like you talk about Tyler Stevenson coming back, which wasn't a guarantee. You talk about the progression of a Jerron Pierre, who was coming out of New Orleans, the best player out of New Orleans. If you're Southern Miss and you get the best player out of New Orleans every year.
From a great program. St. Aug has always – I'm from New Orleans in the Slidell area. But St. Aug has always had a great basketball program with most of the New Orleans schools up there. So getting him was a big plus.
Yeah. And I've seen him play since those high school gyms, right? Yeah. I was telling them that this was going to be a guy before he ever got here, and sure enough, he is. But you get to see him now move off the ball, right? Mm-hmm. He played point guard a lot, and he's flying by the seat of his pants because he's never really played point guard, especially once again, not at the Division I level, which is a different challenge. So you get him off the ball, which he's going to absolutely love. Yeah. You pair him off the ball with a Tay Hardy, which he's absolutely going to love. You pair that with a guy that Tay Hardy's played with before, like we mentioned, Isaiah Moore, right? Yeah. And then you have some built-in chemistry. Waylon Napper and Isaiah Moore being from the same place as well, knowing each other back from middle school. So even though you have some new faces and some new players that you haven't heard of before, you have some built-in chemistry that you normally wouldn't expect when you have turnover like this. And then you look down the bit, say, a guy like Denaja Harris, one of the most improved players. He also was not a guarantee to be back here. Mm-hmm. He came back somewhat in a package deal with Tyler Stevenson. They're super close. He comes back as well. Sure enough, you find out he's one of the most improved players, right? Which is crazy to think about. You got guys like DeAndre Pickney, Mormon, that's going to be, you know, front court depth for them. A young guy like Rashad Bolden, who can play, who will play, who's a winner. He's not the tallest. He's not the fastest. That's he's probably not the best at any area, maybe until he gets to the point of IQ being that trait for him, right?
Yeah.
He's going to play, and he's good. He can hold you down at the point guard spot when you need some extra minutes. And he's going to have his ups and downs just like every freshman point guard does at the Division I level. You can't knock those guys too much because you have to let them have that learning curve.
Correct me if I'm wrong, too, on this, ahead. Too. Speaking on Rashad Bolden, just IQ level. Am I wrong? Or does he maybe have one of the highest IQ levels on this team coming in as a freshman?
Well, you don't want to disrespect a guy like Waylon Napper, right? Who likely I would assume. Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's what you were doing, but just to give him his credit, I mean, you're talking about a guy that coming off the season, he averaged eight assists a game, right? That's high IQ.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Bolden do that. We saw Bolden go to a school that had never won before. and win a couple state championships, mm-hmm. right, which is a big deal. That tells you yeah. something about a guy. The same thing with Will Hall. I mean, a lot of people don't like to hear me say it over and over again, but when you can see consistently, and I know for Rashad it's just high school, but I'm just talking overall scale, mm-hmm. athletes, coaches, whatever, you see consistently that they're able to win out of nothing, I think that's what you want at a place like Southern yeah. Miss, right? Not yeah, that Southern yeah. Miss has never won before, but when you're trying to win again, you need people that have proven to be guys that can yeah, come into a track place worker. Yes. That have never won, and they can turn that around.
Culture, too, yeah. just yeah, to have it that means in the
a
locker lot. Room.
And a guy like Rashad coming in who will mm-hmm. be here for multiple years, has a father that's a basketball coach, that matters so much for a basketball team. This locker room, I can say, has changed a lot. Of course, when I first came here, you had the Tyree Griffin, the Cortez Edwards, mm-hmm. Drain's best season, Dominic McGee, all these different guys, phenomenal basketball players, and you had that attitude, you had that competitive. You see them go to the tournament and knock off a Middle Tennessee. But then when you lose those guys, it takes a lot to and get a new head coach, a new staff, have to recruit all those things. It gets a little tougher, but now year three, you finally have something you can hold on to. The question, like you guys started with, is how far can they take this? And is it enough to keep these guys' jobs? Because, I mean, I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it, but yeah. it goes up and down. You know, it's never guaranteed that you keep that position, so you got to, you know, translate that into results.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Kobe.
Yeah, speaking of the keeping jobs part, we got a lot of freshmen. I'm looking at the roster right now. We got a lot of freshman guards right now, from Jaron to Rashad. We have a lot of freshmen.
Consider that Jaron's coming back. Yeah, he's not technically a freshman.
And he got to play like almost every game.
And his progression from the offseason, from the weight training, from this, you know, summer and fall of camp, he's going to improve a lot. I expect to see that jump for him. Yeah.
Bringing that up, do you see a lot of competition at that guard? Because we have the guards kind of outnumber the forwards and centers a lot. Do you see a lot of position at the one guard or the two guard, or is it kind of set in stone from what you see?
Obviously see a lot less depth at the big position, but in terms of guard, I mean, I think I would have to talk to coach and have those conversations closer to the season. I don't know if they're at a point in terms of, you know, being wanting to talk about lineups, right? Yeah. But, your guards, you're probably going to start Napper, right?
Yeah.
You're going to play Tay and Jaron off the ball as guards, even though one of them would technically be your small forward, your three, but still going to be off the ball type guards. And then you have a Rashad Bolden coming off the bench. Then you have a Mo Arnold, who's really going to be
he's a
quarterback
on his team.
He'll do, you know, he's not going to be the most explosive player offensively by any means.
But if you're going to press, get it done.
If you're going to press and play defense all game, you know what I mean, and play that fast-paced style and have to lock in on defense, then he's the type. He might be the best on-ball defender on this team.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely. If you just watch him defend on the ball and that's all you focus on for a little while, you're going to tell he's different than most of these kids out there. And to get him cleared, which it wasn't a guarantee he was going to be cleared for this season either, that's big for them. But in terms of there being competition, I mean, there's always going to be competition based off the way that you play once you get out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go out there and don't do well, that's how competition comes about.
Speaking
or, of course,
that.
Injuries, you know, whatnot, and how players have to jump in and jump out. But, no, I don't see too many other than starting point guard. Right. I mean, I think if Bolden wanted to make a push and make that argument for himself, that's where you would see that competition. But you kind of know who your off-ball guards are going to be. You hopefully can solidify a point guard position, right? And outside of that, you're working with a guy like Bolden who can come in and fill those minutes at the starting position, or a guy like Mo who can come in and make an impact defensively as well.
That's where the fit comes into point guard. It's not so much.
And Mo
as,
could be that. Mo could step in and then not be all about the offense. He could be a great quarterback for that team, and then he gets those minutes. He ends up being that guy.
It's what they'll need.
I think this is what you kind of want, though, because last year they struggled with guard play. You know,
they didn't have a true point guard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you kind of want that variety there, like you say, a Mo Arnold who can come in and play that defense, who can make plays and just get the job done. You look at Waylon Napa, who's a pure scorer but can also pass the ball. Rashad, you know, he can make plays also. So, and then you got Tay Hardy, who's the same as Mo Arnold but a step above him right now. And you know, you kind of want that. You know what I'm saying? Based off last year where you said they didn't really have that guard play as such, you would rather have more guards than bigs right now, because I feel like the bigs are set. They just got to stay healthy at this point.
Yeah.
You know, you got Isaiah Moore. You got Tyler Stevenson. You got Pickney, you know, who can play down low and rim protect, you know. So I feel like this is a problem I guess you want to have. It's really not a problem, but it's a scenario that you want to have more than anything, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tay Hardy, if you don't mind. I'm going to look into the camera. I'm going to apologize to Tay Hardy because I haven't talked about you enough. I'm going to be quite honest with you.
I want to talk about him.
And I have to just because if nothing else, you know, put the progression aside, put, you know, his tone at practice, what he brings to the table day in and day out. That is the one guy that every day, doesn't matter what day, if the day ends in Y, right, he's going to be out there practicing afterwards. He's going to stay late. He's going to put shots up. He's going to be there to put more work in. And you deserve flowers for that, right? That's what we give out here, flowers, right? That's what y'all do. Flowers. So we'll give him some flowers because I've been meaning to say that. I think I've said that to some people personally, but I haven't put it on wax on the air, so I'm going to do that now. Tay Hardy deserves some credit.
Yeah, he's at the
game too.
Yeah.
And after every practice, you know, they do the interviews facing the court. So, like, after practice, you can see Tay Hardy shooting jump shots, shooting threes, and he's out there more than 30 minutes after practice just throwing up shots.
And to y'all's point about the three-point shooting and all of that, he's he's got to do that because he's not Steph Curry. None of these guys on this team are going to be Steph Curry. That's no knock to them. They just aren't. We don't have some phenomenal three-point shooter. We have a lot of guys that can you know, shoot the ball, make three-point shots on this team, but Southern Miss doesn't have the guy they can rely on in that regard.
Yeah. And that's okay, too, because – we don't always need a three.
All right, I'm gonna have to interject on that.
Now, don't get me wrong. If one comes off,
talking about last season.
If one comes off the bench, we don't. If one comes off the bench, that's great. But we don't need one right now. We gotta see where.
The problem is you have to make the shots that you need to make. The open shots. The ones that work in the flow in the game. Because if too often, that's gonna be the runs that you have, like Charlie pointed to. That if you're not hitting those shots and you can't rely on guys to hit those shots, that's where you're going to lose a game, especially if the other team is shooting threes.
All of us know how important threes are in this game today. If you look at Conference USA even, Southern Miss last year had the 12th least made three-pointers, only 5 average per game, and they were shooting at 30% basically. And you take into account that you're losing Arthur for the year and LaDavius, who made 62 of 134 three-pointers. Yeah. Tay was the third guy on that team last year as far as three-pointers made. So you can see why he's making that a focus.
Even a guy like Drain had a drastic drop-off just because he became the guy, when you didn't have Tyree Griffin and Cortez Edwards and Dominic McGee, all those guys to kind of get you open looks, he used to knock those down, right? The looks that we're talking about now, he knocked all those down. Then when he became the guy, it's the same thing Steph Curry. You're never going to take his shot away, right? He's always going to have that shot. But if you do take that shot away, how useful is Steph Curry? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How useful is
it? I wouldn't even say Steph Curry, but there's other, like, Joe Harris.
Same thing, Joe Harris. And maybe Steph wasn't the best because he does have the handles. Yeah, but a guy,
He has the playmaking ability
but
also.
But even a guy like Drain, he could pass, but he wasn't going to be the best passer. He wasn't going to be the best dribbler. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the quickest. None of those things. So if your three-point shot goes, you know, your team works at a deficit at that point the rest of the game, just based off the progress of yours that they can't rely on anymore. You'd look at a guy like Drain.
Because here's the thing I'm trying to say is, it's not, I'm not saying that, three-point is not important, but, like, I'm just saying, if we're talking about consistent shot, the mid-range is good, too, because a mid-range shot will definitely be important in runs. Because that's the most dangerous thing about Kevin Durant. As soon as he goes to that elbow by the free throw line,
people completely ignore that.
Trevor, you watch, one of the best basketball experts I know. Once you see him go take that shot, you know it's going in. It's a green bean. I'm not saying that 3-point is.
But you have to just consistently knock down the open shots.
It's for me points per possession, right? And there's no arguing that. You know, if you go by attempts, which isn't makes, right, just attempts, you're still going to get more points per possession based off every three-point attempt, probably somewhere right over one. You're going to get 1.1, 1.2 points per attempt there. That's going to be far more than any other shot. So that's the thing. If the other team is killing you on that end, then that's the only way you can make that up. Sometimes it's not just about you. What's the other team doing, and what do you have to make up for?
And they were getting outpaced last year as far as attempts. They weren't even trying that.
And the other thing to his point is, it's not necessarily that you have to have one of those guys, right? Mm. But you don't want to be relying on certain – because either way it goes, even if you don't have that guy, you're going to have a hierarchy of who can and who you're relying on to knock down those shots. And if whoever that guy is, insert a name, whether 1, 2, or 3, if those guys aren't hitting those, you lose a lot of confidence as a team. Like, you lose a lot of confidence.
Links on the chain.
I think with this team, though, Like y'all just talking about like the outside shot. I don't think they should just rely on that three. Like Kobe was saying,
they can't.
Yeah,
they won't. That won't be schematically what they do because they know they can't. That's part of the reason why I think I could be completely wrong. I'm not an expert on the X's and O's as much as say a coaching staff is. But for me, like when we watched the Pelicans over the years, right, Charlie, you see them speed up the pace. You see them play faster, locking on defense, and sometimes you have to do that. Because you're not the best three-point shooting team.
Yeah,
because you have to cover up a few mistakes, right? And I think that's why Southern Miss went there last season, especially with the point guard issues, because you have to start playing faster. You have to play more defense. Obviously, that's what Ladner, Coach Rohn, all those guys want to do anyway. But it's kind of de facto what you have to do to be able to give some semblance of competition when you're aware of your weaknesses, right?
Yeah. So let me ask you this question then also, Trevor. What exactly is the strength? Because the strength of this team, because just looking at it, is – like going to practice, it seems like it's just a transition basketball. You know, Coach Ladner talked about positioning this basketball, maybe getting some you know, big men, some shots from the outside. You know, Tyler Stevenson, he's been consistent with his mid-range, which he worked on last year and did phenomenal at. That was kind of
– Hey, Tyler's going to shoot more threes too. He's going to have to. Isaiah Moore is going to shoot threes. He played the three at St. John's. He's going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
Strengths, first off, let me say Jerron Pierre. That's one of your strengths. And I say that because – you're probably going to go as far as your best player takes you. Now, whether or not that ends up being Jerron or not, I don't know. It should be.
I think it might switch between
him and Moore or Stevenson one of those. But you're going to go as far as your ball-dominant guy takes whether that's the point guard, whoever that is. Hopefully, Jerron benefits from being off the ball and having a guy like Waylon, who he's told me, hey, if you're going to play with anybody, who do you want to play with, Jerron? Probably Waylon.
He stated that.
Right. Yes. So, and T. Stephen Moore were in that conversation as well, but that's because of the passing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that's one of your strengths. Like I said, I think they go as far as a guy like Jerron is able to help take them. Then also, how well do you play in the front court? Because you have two guys looking for a lot of the same shots. You have two guys that are essentially identical. They might not like me saying this, but the fact of the matter is Isaiah Moore was brought in to replace Tyler Stevenson. He wasn't brought in to play with Tyler Stevenson. That became a matter that they had to figure out after the fact once Tyler Stevenson comes back. And then you have no choice but to play both of them. You're kind of locked into that. Right. Granted, you don't really have the depth regardless to make an argument there, right? But that's going to be one of your streaks or one of your weaknesses. If that combusts, then you probably don't play very well this season. If that works to its highest potential, then you probably win a good number of games, more so than you have in the past couple of seasons, I would argue. And strength as well, Isaiah Moore, in the respect that this team will be different. Mm-hmm. Mostly because of a guy like him, right?
So it's just intensity attitude. Level?
Intensity, 100%.
Yeah.
He's not going to let you live. Mm-hmm. He doesn't let you live. Whether you're the opponent, whether you're a teammate, whether you did something right, whether you did something wrong, whether he was completely wrong, he's not going to let you live. Yeah. He's not going to let you breathe. And look, you know, for him, if he catches this, he has to have more of that own perspective, right? When you get a guard on you in the post like Jerron Pierre at practice defending you, that should be barbecue chicken.
Definitely.
You shouldn't let him stop you two straight possessions, right? And I've told him that personally myself, you know, in just casual conversation, just because, you know, when you're a guy like that, you have to live up to it. But like we've talked about, Southern Miss hasn't had that before.
Yeah.
When's the last time you saw a guy dunk on somebody, poster dunk, scream?
Yeah. It's been a minute since I've seen it.
We haven't. You haven't. I mean, emphatic dunk.
Yeah.
Other than Tyree would cross some people, and, you know, he was a very short guy, so he could dunk, and it was amazing to watch him dunk because it's a feat someone like that shouldn't be able to make. Another phenomenal player out of New Orleans.
Yeah.
One of the greatest point guards to ever play here, and he should be remembered as that despite how bad they were. But
my mom would like to hear that.
Yeah.
She was a big fan of his.
He's phenomenal.
Jerron carrying on the 55 legacy. I guess it must be a New Orleans thing.
I don't think it was. I don't know why he did it, but I asked him if that had anything to do with Tyree, and he told me it didn't. So you never know.
Yeah.
But like I said, that changes when you got guys. And I'll give Napper some credit. Some of those other guys in Bolden, I think, bring something different to the table as a freshman. He's not your typical freshman. You know, he has and I don't want to say a higher character as if I'm knocking somebody else. Like, people are going to try to go read between the lines and say, who else is he talking about? It's just every time I spoke to Rashad, there's certain guys on this team, if I go down the list, and I don't just say that about kids. I hope you guys understand. I hope the listeners understand. I call it down the middle.
Right.
If I have something bad to say about somebody, I'll say something bad about somebody. If I don't, then I don't. But you look at a guy like Jerron Pierre, professional beyond his years.
Right.
He makes some mistakes.
He makes mistakes. But I thought a lot of that was because of what he was forced into.
Not just on the court,
just
he's a young
circumstances.
Guy. Yeah, he has his ups and downs just like any other freshman or sophomore is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
But He brings a lot more to the table beyond his years. Same thing about a guy like Tyler Stevenson, even though he's older. You see it in a guy like Rashad Bolden. All of that makes a difference on a team. Yeah. And I, like I said, ceiling-wise, I don't know. Let's start with double-digit wins and then see where it goes from there.
Right.
But they're going to have to do something to make everyone, not just administration, not just us, the fan base as well, to kind of understand that there's progress and that it's headed in the right direction. Because even Ladner said himself, that it, you know, if he was sitting in the stands, he'd be saying the same thing. You know, he understands that. There, you know, no one needs to tell him that, right?
Yeah.
Just asking this question also, to Trevor, what record does Southern Miss have to have, or what, how many wins does Southern Miss need to have for him to kind of get off the hot seat? I think that's a question that needs to be asked.
I wouldn't call it the hot seat yet. Right?
Okay.
We're getting there. The flame, you know, when you turn on the stove and it tick, 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 tick. That's where we're at right now. You ain't seen the flame yet, but it's about to come on, right? Yeah. But there's not a number on that. Mm. You know, if I told you 17, 18, 14, that'd be dumb, right?
Yeah,
right.
But it's competitive. It's are you losing those tight games the same way you did last season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or does the crowd look the same that it did last season? Are the players that you've been recruiting that the administration has trusted you to recruit, are they making the difference that you expected them to make? All of that matters. Do you go to a conference tournament and make an impact and upset a team and make a run? Because the reality is, it feels like every year the Conference USA team upsets in the first round of the national.
No,
you just have to get through Conference USA tournament, right, and get there. Because if you win the tournament, then you get in. That's the only way to do it. And then when you get in, it's pretty much a guarantee that's one of your first round upsets. And I'm not saying that Southern Miss, but you got to get as close to that as possible, because that's the end goal. And every year you're going to be tracked on how much closer you get to that, right? And like I said, you went from a Tyree Griffin team upsetting a Middle Tennessee, getting a Doc Sadler, a contract extension that he had before that already that people argued maybe he shouldn't have had. But he got that solidified after a Middle Tennessee upset, and you can't knock him for that, because at the time Middle Tennessee was coming off being a powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
Still a great school for basketball. But like I said, you have to get continuously closer, and I don't have the win totals in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they weren't double-digit wins. So that's where you have to start. And then depending on how fast you get there, then we realize, okay, this team is better than the last couple of years. That's where you have to start. Okay, it is better. Yeah. And then you gauge the ceiling. Then you reflect on what you've seen from that sample size and figure out how far you can take it.
Yeah.
And that's a tough thing about predictions early in the season, because you can't – unless you're like – and that's the one thing I got to start doing. I got to start going to more and more practices. But that's the thing about predictions. You can't, like, say what they need to do, because – the season hasn't started yet. Like, I wanted to say that, oh, they need to strike early, because not having 9 wins and then waiting until the tournament and then kind of going off that, that's not going to help. That's not going to help. But I think that this team is just like, it may surprise a lot of people, though.
Yeah, the only thing is, let's just be honest, they haven't given you much, right? Same thing with football. I told people, hey, you lose a quarterback. I told you guys this before the season.
You lose
a quarterback, you're not guaranteeing me a win outside of Grambling State. Think what you want, but I said, and I'm not saying that's the same thing with basketball, but I'm just saying when a team hasn't given you much, when they haven't shown enough, I think this team has it to make that leap in the third year.
Yeah,
but they're going to have to show me, right?
Yeah, it's unproven.
That, I mean, this is a what have you done for me lately world, especially college athletics. Jay Ladner knows that. This team knows that. Isaiah Moore knows that, right? When the transfers know that. Everybody is aware of that. So that's what have you done for me lately? And frankly, we're coming off 2 seasons that haven't been promising. So that remains to be seen. But like I said, that's what they're going to be judged off of.
Speaking on what have you done for me lately, let's just switch it over to football 1 second.
Okay.
Chandler Pittman, you kind of released the news today. Kind of just talk about that for a second, if you don't mind. Just tell me, you had Will Hall on your podcast today.
Yep.
Just tell me about the news and what he told you today, if you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got word of it this morning. It wasn't exactly a secret. I don't know about you guys. I didn't exactly notice it after the game.
No, I didn't.
I didn't either.
He gave quite the normal interview. Once again, he's another guy, professional beyond his years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes an impact when you speak to him. But, once again, didn't notice that. I don't think they did either, to be quite honest with you. I'm not sure. I don't have the details there. To my understanding, though, They weren't aware of it. That kind of came up, woke up, had some swelling, that sort of thing. I think it's a knee issue. I was told by one of the Rivals guys in my DMs that it was a torn ACL. Hall called it a lower extremity injury.
Yeah, he's been doing it all season.
Yeah, yeah. How many, stop me if you've heard this before.
I don't think I've ever heard that before the season.
No, not as much as I've heard as this much, year. Yeah.
And it's tough, right? Trey Lowe Grambling goes down. Tykes Rice goes down. Jake Lang, UAB, goes down. T-Webb, Chandler Pittman, Jack Walker. Jack Walker cannot throw a football. Just simply can't throw a football, right? Then Chandler Pittman goes down for the season. So you really only have your Jake Lang coming off that injury. T-Webb, who had a very short leash, right, for a little while. And he came back in, right? But still, you could see what the thought process was there. And I don't want to say much more on that.
Yeah.
But that's other than Jake Smith-Hart, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we're approaching towards. Jake Smith-Hart going to end up playing at some
point. He was holding the
clipboard
on the sidelines. I was down on the side. He was suited up and still had the clipboard.
Going to end up seeing Frank Gore throw a football by the end of the season.
Yep.
Icy Brownlee. I don't know.
I think that
that'll be somebody, right?
I think that Jack Walker did catch me by surprise. I think they want to put him in that kind of Taysom Hill type of role.
It's not that. It's just Jake Lang and T. Webb ain't Lamar Jackson.
Nah.
Right? Nah. And Will Hall's a guy that's going to want to show. And that, once again, no disrespect to him. Let's be honest, right? Of course, we understand that's why a Trey Lowe, a Tykes were the guys that were looked at because Will Hall's going to want to, at the very least, give you some semblance of an option. Right. Mm-hmm. Even like with Jack Walker, he cannot throw the football. But at least when he got in there third and fourth down, even though it didn't work out, Hall's thinking there's at least some semblance of an option that's going to happen here.
Of a physical type of quarterback.
Now, as far as Chandler, I think Chandler was one of the more promising young players on this team. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm looking for, this is my personal opinion, not anything that I have sourced from anybody on this team, but if I was building this team going forward around certain blocks, which we've heard Will Hall talk about before, then that's going to be Tykes, that's going to be Chandler Pittman, and that's going to be Frank Gore Jr., right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Those have to be the guys. Now you've lost two of them to a season-ending injury. Hopefully you get them back in the spring as expected. Chandler Pittman is not expected to be – he'll be cleared in the spring, but only for non-contact. So it'll be a while until he gets contact clearance. Tykes is expected to be cleared 1 to 2 weeks after the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that means he'll pretty much have a full offseason, right? Yeah, which is great if you're expecting to build around him going forward. Trey Lowe will not be back until late into the spring, which doesn't rule him out of the conversation. You just expect Ty to start to get the jump on him as he returns sooner, and then you'll have another recruit coming in January who will also enter that discussion. And those are the three guys you're going to be looking at in terms of quarterback. But with Chandler, I wanted to see Chandler play more quarterback this season. I wanted to see him throw the football. I wanted to see him give them that idea of an option to work with a Frank Gore and all those things. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're not going to get that opportunity. We may never get that opportunity because they may get a quarterback back and then they don't run into that problem again. And we'll probably see him in trick plays and wildcat packages and all those sorts of things. But, man, just incredibly tough. I mean, what can you say?
Yeah,
you know?
He scored some very big plays, even in that Bama game that we lost very badly.
Not many people scoring two touchdowns against them.
Nope. No, not at all. Not at all, man. But we do wish you all the prayers and the best of luck, Chandler.
And don't forget the Mayberries. Covers. Like, there's other guys, you know what I mean?
I forgot about Mayberry.
It's endless, you know what I mean?
And I just got to pose the question. But we know Lance Ancar is the strength and conditioning coach. I'm not saying he's doing a terrible job or not. But it's just been so many injuries that it's like, so difficult to overcome, and just it's hard to win any games with a quarterback going out. But imagine your quarterback, your backup quarterback, your third string quarterback, your offensive line, guys like Arvin Fletcher just up and leave the team. And I don't know his situation exactly, but we just see a whole bunch of guys leave, and a lot of it has been done to injuries. Like, how much of it is strength and conditioning, or was it just it's just guys are not physically able to take the beating right now.
I mean, that's a tough one, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because I don't have enough to say anything, because that directly go towards someone's job
status
and their job requirements and what they do. And I, frankly, have enjoyed every part of Lance Ancar, right?
Agreed. But the question just has to be asked.
No, 100%. You do. That question will come up soon, I'll say that. You guys know I work hard, right? So I'll definitely get to that at some point. Sometimes you have to get to a little more information before you start to bring things up, if that makes sense. But you do at some point have to ask the question, when is it not a coincidence anymore? When is this the result of something else? Whether it be the fallout of injuries being a domino effect and just being one of those things where you can't really help it, like guys are just taking a beating, like you said, or is it some we've seen staffs before have issues. I've seen it with the Pelicans. I've seen it with plenty of organizations, and then they switch staffs and don't have as much of that issue anymore. So sometimes it is those guys. I don't think we know at this point. Yeah. I'm sure they know. I'm sure I will bring it up soon, to be quite honest with you. We're not quite there yet. Of course, people probably will watch this and be like, what do you mean we're not there yet? Look at how many guys we've had go down. You have to get information. You guys understand this. You're journalism students. Yes. There has to be credible information. Yes. You can't just you could raise that question, but you're going to get coach speak. Like, let's be honest. If any of the coaches see this, if you ask that question to one of the coaches right now, you're going to get coach speak. If you actually have information, you bring something to the table, you get a response to it, right? That's when you're going to get, and this is, you know, a lesson for you guys, right? I hope you guys understand there's a difference in that. And sometimes you kind of hold your cards closer to your vest and don't ask the question to get the coach speak answer, and you wait until you have that information. And I think that's what multiple parties are waiting on at this point, because it's obvious too many injuries, too many devastating injuries, too many devastating injuries to very important players to this team. So it's like, can you trust the staff to invest in these players and keep them healthy for the long haul? That's if you're a fan, I couldn't blame you for asking that question right now, right? But I don't know where that stands in terms of what the actual cause and effect is here. I mean, we know what the effect is, but the cause of it is still unknown. And I think we'll probably get to the bottom of that before the end of the season, or at least have an idea, have some comments, have enough for you guys to be able to figure out whichever side of the fence you lean on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Trevor, thank you for stopping by again. For sure. Once again, first ever two-time guest so far. Trev, tell the people where they can find you on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, man, Richie TMR, pretty much anywhere you can find me, RitchieTMR. Of course, Austin mentioned that I just had Will Hall on the podcast today, Southern Miss football head coach, two-time Gulf South coach of the year, 2003 Harlan Hill Trophy winner. So there's a lot more to his background than just Southern Miss. I don't know about you, but a great guy to have an interview with or to talk to. Yeah. Definitely always a fun conversation. I think a lot of the topics brought up are a lot of the topics we brought up here. And I think you guys would enjoy hearing what Will had to say. But that, of course, is Club Level with Trevor Richie, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen to your podcast. And yeah, man, I hope you guys enjoy having me. I enjoyed being here. It means a lot more than you guys know. Yeah. And it means a lot more than you guys know. So I appreciate that, and I don't take it for granted.
Yeah, man.
We appreciate you, man.
Yeah, we do. Everything you do, man. You, like you said before you came on, you are one of the hardest working people here at Southern Miss, and you graduated. So
yeah.
But
sometimes, guys, you got to give yourself flowers, right? I don't say that to be egotistical, definitely. But like you guys too, like I said, when you have these accomplishments, when you put yourself in places that you didn't expect to be, when you talk to people you never expected to talk to, that means a lot. I've been reflecting on that lately, and I hope you guys do as well, because I grew up very humbly. I never assumed, let alone being on the sideline, going to a game. I never thought about going to a football game or a basketball game or anything like that. So you have to stop for a second and pat yourself on the back sometimes, you know, that you've put yourself in those positions. Yeah, give him a pat, right?
Hey, y'all see me giving Charlie a pat on the back, man.
I hope
I got a second hand pat on the back.
I hope I didn't make it too serious there, right? Because I killed the mood a little bit. I didn't make it a little serious.
You don't know. It's midterm time, right?
We do appreciate you being here again. Like I said in the beginning, friend of the show, man. We do want to have you back though, mid-season. Hopefully closer to the season again, but mid-season for basketball and everything, man.
Then we'll have stats.
And then we'll actually have stats.
We'll have a sample to look at.
And not to mention, three-time guest.
Yeah. So,
Southern Miss basketball. Just want to throw this out. First game, well, excluding the exhibition against Delta State, November 4th. First regular season game is November 9th, Tuesday, versus William Carey, which women's basketball will also be playing that day.
Yeah, so definitely come out, support the Golden Eagles and the Lady Eagles as well. Trevor, thank you for coming on again, man. And when we come back from the break, every time we talk to Trevor, we always find a way to go over. But but when we come back, Sorry, guys. You're good, bro. But when we come back, we will be giving our flowers, and then we will be getting into our outro. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show, and this is Southern Miss Radio. I'd like to thank Trevor for joining our show today.
Why you smack his back like that, bro?
Because he just tapped me for no reason.
I was trying to tell you to talk, big dog. Let's go.
Scott was giving me the cue. But
let's get it back on topic.
But anyway, thank you to Trevor for joining the show today, coming by 4th Street. Before we get into our flowers, because we are over time again, Charlie, you got some quick news that we need to share?
Sir. So we've been talking about conference realignment every couple weeks on our show, but there's some new news coming out, again, from my Mr. Yahoo Sports, Pete Thamel. Basically, the AAC, American Athletic Conference, is close to adding 6 CUSA schools in an expansion. Well, 6 schools are reaching out for the application process. And it's interesting because a couple of weeks ago, CUSA commissioner reached out and was like, hey, can we reach an agreement to where we can kind of share, exchange these teams? Well, it looks like AAC is now kind of behind their back saying, we're going to snatch your team. What agreement. Yeah.
I just got to ask this question, though, because you brought that up. Yeah. 6 teams from CUSA, 4 from Texas, if I'm correct. It's kind of been that ordeal three.
Yeah.
Okay, I could have sworn it was 4. But the MAC, they were expected to try to take some teams from the Mountain West Conference.
Mountain West.
They were expected to try to take some teams from out of Texas, basically, to reach that Texas market. But the AAC has now taken them. But my question is, does this make the AAC better, or is it? Does it hurt them in the long run? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got teams like UTSA and UAB, but can they be a Houston and Cincinnati? Yeah. And you get what I'm saying?
That's a question to ask. We're not going to debate about it.
Yeah, today, I'm just saying. I'm posing a question.
You look at they lost Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. You have to make that up some way.
Yeah.
All these teams, big market teams, leaving CUSA. You know, they're looking for something new. This is their opportunity. And it's AAC's opportunity. Basically, I don't want to say staying afloat, but right, you gotta move on. You gotta make the next move. And those were the teams. I would say CUSA is the most volatile conference right now as far as expansion. Because every team, I don't know the insides, but it looks like every team is looking at the opportunity to move on or to somehow change up.
Yeah. At the landscape, if this happens. Which will make the AAC a 14-team league. The CUSA is done. Conference USA is done at this point, and we can expect that to happen as early as next week. From reports that I've read, these announcements could happen as early as next week. So
something to keep an eye on.
Yes, it's something to keep an eye on. Southern Miss fans are still pushing for the Sun Belt. I'm not going to feed into it until I see it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just all I have to say on it. The landscape is vastly changing. And we're going to get some big news pretty soon.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. So moving on from that, we get into our flower segment, quick flower segment. Our 4th Street Player of the Week.
Who was it?
It goes to Iana Izquierdo, who netted the game-winning penalty kick in the second.
Came out the top.
Good for you.
Kobe.
Well deserved.
Yeah. I've been hearing Charlie say it a lot. I needed to have it done. But she netted the game-winning penalty kick in the second overtime period to give Southern Miss its first program win against Rice, and a whole shout out to the Southern Miss soccer team this year for moving to first in their division and accomplishing what they have done so far. They have turned a lot of heads, and they've been putting on for us. We've been having a rough year in football and other sports, but they've been putting on for us though.
Shout out to Coach Moore.
Shout out to Coach Moore.
We had him on earlier on in the season, and I think he may have to replace Trevor if they keep winning. Coach Mo
has the most tenure.
It's the most tenure on.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, Trevor got to get in here for a second. Hold on. I'm just saying.
I think Coach Mo remembers me. I think Coach Mo knows me. I don't know. Where's the camera? This is the camera right here. Coach Mo, you can come after me if you want. But the most tenured guest on the 4th Street Sports Show will be me, and I will get my belt at the end of the year. I'm gonna make these guys order me a belt. Now, if you want that belt, try your best.
Right. we got mid-show promos being.
I'm just saying, man.
So shout out to Coach Mo, PG, and Sam, and the rest of the soccer squad, man. Y'all been y'all deserve a lot. Y'all deserve a lot more praise. We giving you a lot of praise. I know other podcasts have, but we giving y'all a lot of praise. So, but
love y'all.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. And hey. we love what y'all do. So
yeah, great. I believe that's probably the fourth award we've given out to soccer players. So it looks like
so. Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations again to Ilana Izquierdo.
And that's our flower segment.
Wait, actually, hold up. I have one more thing. I wanted to give Lena May a shout out because she put on a charity event for her senior project. And she raised money for a clinic, I believe. I don't have an exact number, but I think she raised a good deal of money. It happened from 6:30 to 8 yesterday. And it was just a really fun, festive event. Had a couple of live acts and performing. Austin was there with me.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Charles, for actually being there at the event. And we're going to wrap it up after this. But
yes.
I just want to thank Charles and Lon, too, if he's listening. Lon helped me also. We're actually going to have a package coming out on Lena May and what she did. And it was a nice venue. Shout out to Austin Bourne and Sadie. I forgot her last name, but Austin Bourne. I think it's Bourne or Boom.
Yeah,
Boom. Well, sorry if I'm mispronouncing but they did an excellent job singing at the venue too. And it was a great event. That will be coming out pretty soon on Southern Miss TV. I'm actually working on it. Yeah. Lena May, she's a great spirit. I actually got to talk to her mom also, who's just excellent human beings. Just big shout out to all of them. And
make sure to check out all of our content too on studentprince.com and the latest episodes of SMTV. And keep listening to WSM. Am I right?
That's my platform. Yeah. Listen to my stuff.
And with that being said, it is that time. It actually has been that time, but you already know the deal with us though. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Follow us on all social media platforms, from Twitter to Facebook to Instagram.
We're not on LinkedIn though.
Not yet.
Not yet. We're working on it.
We're almost there. also, again, every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, WSM 88.5 TuneIn Radio app, which I just found out about earlier this week.
I've been talking about TuneIn.
The thing is, I haven't. Really,
just
like
now making the connection.
We're out there,
and southernmissradio.com.
One more statement, y'all. The NBA season just kicked off.
We gotta go watch the game. So
that's why. That's why I'm trying to get into this outro real quick. So, follow us there again. 5 o'clock on Tuesdays.
Facebook Live.
southernmissradio.com
and Apple Podcasts. All that stuff.
Oh yeah. If you missed the show today, Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts. All them joints that should be out tomorrow or Thursday, depending. Hopefully, I don't have technical difficulties while editing the show, but we will definitely have that up for tomorrow. But once again, but we got to get out of here, man. Basketball starting. My Braves on right now. We leading 4-2 right now. In your face, Trevor. He's a Mets fan, so I had to get that out. I had to get that out there. I had to get that out there. So, once again, I am Kobe.
I am Charles.
I am Charlie.
And Smooth Austin.
And we are the 4th Street Sportsmen, and this is the 4th Street Sports Show. Peace and love, everyone. Have a great day.
4th Street Sports. Bye-bye.